Welcome to Eclad Chat. Eclad Chat. Streaming live to you from Eclad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. Eclad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. Eclad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. I'm Casey Benane, and welcome to Eclad Chat, where we chat up big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content and information that will develop both your personal and professional lives. On today's show, we have a special guest, but before we even go there, let me tell you about the promotion we have going on. Normally, Kaylin handles that part of the show, but she's not in today. She's not feeling well. Poor Kaylin. Hopefully, we'll have her back again here on our next show. She'll be feeling better by then, hopefully, and, you know, she'll pick back up right where she left off from the previous show. Okay, so this week's Eclad's Hidden Gem promotion is for 4-hour rentals, we're giving away a free hour for setup. So for, for all those clients that always come in and always, you know, they're concerned about whether or not they have to pay that additional fee for time that they're not necessarily utilizing in what in their mind is, you know, productively because there's no one here. They're just setting up, they're cleaning up, doing what they need to do to get things together for the show or for their event. We're offering a free hour for anyone who purchases a 4-hour rental. And if you'd like more information on that, or even to talk to us about, just renting the Hidden Gem for your occasion, for your event, or having a conversation about working with us on something, feel free to give us a call. Our number here is 212-644-6445. Again, it's 212-644-6445. Or you can hit us up by email, and the number and the email address is hiddengem@y-clad.com. Again, that's hiddengem@y-clad.com. Okay, guys, so on today's show, we're talking to Shallon Lester, editor at Star Magazine and writer for the official CWTV series Gossip Girls blog. Previously a blogger, columnist for Glamour Magazine, gossip feature reporter for New York Daily News, and associate editor for FHM.com. She's an author, and you've probably seen her make appearances dishing out entertainment news on The Wendy Williams Show.
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for joining us today. Gosh. Well, me, because Kayla's not here today.
No, bless her heart.
I know. So, generally, we'd love to start the show by, asking, our guests, tell us something about you, a fun fact, something that you love, something that you enjoy to do on your personal time.
I like shooting. I love to shoot guns. I'm a little bit...
Oh my gosh, you caught me up when you said shooting. I was like, okay, I'm thinking.
No, I tell that to people. I was like, oh, I'm shooting all day. And they're like, oh, what are you shooting for? Like a magazine? Right, I was right. I'm blowing stuff up out in the desert. Okay. I was in ROTC in college, so I love guns and weapons. I don't own any. Everyone can... Relax.
Okay.
I don't think I should own any, but they're I love it. And I love rodeo too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just
And I love cowboys. I love boys who do rodeo and boys who shoot.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
Okay. Yeah.
I really wasn't expecting
that. People don't expect that when they look at me, but yeah.
I can. No, it sounds like fun. I've never done it. I've always wanted to do it. I've seen other people do it on reality shows and different things. I'm like, oh my god, that looks like it could be so much fun. I'm actually afraid of guns.
Yeah, well, you should be. They're terrifying. I mean, you should have a healthy fear and respect for guns.
Yeah.
No, it's so fun. You should do it. Yes. Yes.
Where would you go here in New York City?
There's indoor gun ranges, but if you want to go really shoot weapons, out in Connecticut, there's guns and there's weapons. Ooh. So if you want something big, an M16 or an AR, something like that.
I don't even know what that is, but it just sounds crazy.
They're big. They're big, scary.
So is that
heavy
something
weapons.
That you would like? I mean, so you go there and you're holding this.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you must invite me.
Yeah, we'll go.
I must go.
It's fun. Wow. It gives you like a sense of power, and it's just
sure.
You get why people are into it. Yeah.
I mean, just kind of sidetracking from the show a little bit, but I'm so intrigued.
Yeah.
So how did you like? You woke up one morning and were like, okay, I'm going gun range shooting, or like, how does that come about?
I was 19. I was in college, and I was like kind of just like out of control. I had like the kind of sophomore crazies. I was a little bit bulimic, a little bit just out of control. I was fine.
Yeah.
But. And someone kind of tricked me into taking a military skills class that my college offered. I didn't realize it was ROTC. And for the next 2 years, I was in, like, ROTC. So I would, like, wear the BDUs and, like, train with the Army and everything. Yeah. And I really thought about joining up. But it's
so
not...
you're like a tough New York City girl.
I'm not
I
that
love
tough.
It.
I'm tough if I'm armed. Hand-to-hand combat, no. It's slap fights and hair pulling all the way. So, no, I'm not tough at all. Not tough at all. Don't mess with me. If you see me on the subway, I'll cry.
Oh, my God. No. Okay. So we go from, you know, the gun range to entertainment.
Army. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
How did you get involved in entertainment?
Well, I was always writing. I was writing through college. I was writing when I first moved to New York. And I basically was taking the jobs that would hire me. And that was in entertainment, like with FHM. And I really, really liked it. And then I moved to the New York Daily News. And I think celebrity is just so part of our generation and our culture. Like, that's what we talk about with our girlfriends. Those are the magazines we buy when we're getting on a plane. Like, that's everyone's guilty pleasure. And, like, it's really fun to do your guilty pleasure as your job.
Yeah, for sure. We are definitely living in a society where, like, life just doesn't seem to exist without us kind of indulging in some sort of celebrity, you know, gossip. You know? Yeah. I'm guilty of it to some extent. I try not to, but I have to.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it.
Yeah. Now that I do it for a living, it's like you really have to separate. Like, I don't watch reality shows at night. You know, it's like I always say, it's like a gynecologist coming home and watching porn.
No,
it's like if you see one more. Like, if I have to watch one more Kardashian appearance, like, I will not do it.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of put the division up and then find new, like, hobbies. So I try to, like, get into sports or something like that to kind of balance it out.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And then, too, I'm sure it helps to keep your sanity.
I mean, it does.
You know, kind of indulging in too much of that stuff can really make you turn into mush.
Yeah. It's like, really, does my day revolve around what Kylie Jenner Snapchatting?
I know.
This is where I am. This is my life.
Oh, my gosh. But I'm sure it's fun.
It is. It's so fun.
It's fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
No one, like, takes it too seriously. You know, it's not like we're curing cancer or people's lives are on the line. It's just good fun.
Yeah. So, you know, we're here. We're all about success stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So eClad Chat is about, like, business news as it applies to, like, lifestyle, fashion, events, that kind of thing, right? But we try to hit, like, the business aspect of it. And so most of our listeners are, you know, people who are either entrepreneurs, CEOs, business, you know, people to that extent. So, so we're, like, really big on success stories because we feel like it's really inspiring. It's really, from a lot of the stories and a lot of the guests that we have, the stories that they tell or the experiences that they share really help, you know, listeners or people who are just trying to do something positive or something with their careers, right?
Yeah.
Just succeed or, you know, consider a new path, that kind of thing. So tell us the accelerated version to how you've, you know, starting from you know, college, and now you're the editor at Star Magazine.
Yeah, I think so. I went from college. I really focused on just writing for whoever would take me. And at first, for the first few years, I was writing for free. And a lot of people my age are like, I'm not going to write for free. It's like, you're 21. You have nothing to say. Like, you have no credentials. Write for free. It's, especially if you're a writer, you have no capital. It's not like you have to buy all these materials to do the thing you want to do. It's, writing is free.
Yeah.
So do that. Build up your portfolio. Like, get clips so that when the job that pays does come along, you have something to show them instead of a resume that's empty because you were too prideful to write for free.
Yeah.
So that really helped me go from, like, being a waitress when I first moved to New York to associate editor of FHM. Like, that was my first job. And then from there, like, you're kind of in the loop. You meet people. A huge tip, I think, is don't burn bridges.
Yeah.
You never know who your intern's going to turn into. Mm-hmm. You never know where your boss is going to go. Like, the random person, someone who ended up hiring me was someone I used to waitress with.
Really?
Yeah. And, like, you never, especially in New York City, like, people end up all over the place.
Even though it's a big city.
It is. Yeah. It's a small town in a big city. Yeah. And especially whatever industry you're in, it's probably pretty small. You know, you're in that same pocket and you meet a lot of the same people. So keep an open mind. don't keep too sharp of a tongue, yeah. and don't hold grudges, yeah. even though I'm prone to all of those things.
We all are. We're human.
I know. So, yeah, I went to the Daily News and then Glamour, and then I had a reality show and wrote some books and stuff. And, again, like, those things just came about because I kept an open mind yeah. and really tried to make connections with as many people as I could. Like, yeah. be good at small talk. Be good at chatting people up at parties. Oh, what do you do? That's so interesting. Yeah. You're from Indiana? No way.
Yeah, like, good at that.
It's hard.
The one thing I'm not good
it's
at.
It's hard. I got good at it as a sorority girl. You have to for Rush.
Right.
Like, you do it 7 days a week. 2 weeks a year
yeah.
for 4 years, and it sucks. But now, like, I can just talk to anyone. I'm like, oh, you're a white supremacist. That's so interesting. Tell me more about that. How'd you learn to, like, sew your own hood? Like, you just have to just make it up.
Yeah.
No matter who you're talking to. And not like I want to see where someone like that would go, but most people that you meet are not going to be white supremacists. Right. They're going to be cool in New York
That's
City.
Interesting to some degree.
Right. Interesting in, you know, a hateful way. But, yeah, you just want to, you really want to keep an open mind.
Okay. So, as a successful editor and blogger, what did you do differently to, well, we, you know, you talked about, you know, kind of writing for free and you know,
yeah.
just kind of getting yourself out there that
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Beyond that, like, you know, what did you do to kind of outshine many others that I'm sure may have probably applied for that position and you have it?
I really tried to go over and above. Like, when I was applying for Star and any publication, I read as many issues as I could get my hands on, really tried to learn the editorial voice, the structure, and go in with ideas. Like, of how to improve. Not criticisms, because people, now that I hire people, they come and they're like, what is this section? I'm like, you can get out. Like, don't come in here criticizing what we do. We're obviously doing the best we can. But, like, come in with ideas and enthusiasm. And I think that set me apart. And I was also really bold. I would write really spicy cover letters. I would write spicy articles. So as a writer, you would rather have someone go a little too turned up than... and. Because you know you can reel them back again.
Them, right?
But if they're a little flat, you can't pump them up. It's exhausting for someone hiring to be like, well, I'm always going to have to hover over this person and, like, try and spice up their writing. So I was bold, and I took risks that other people were like, that's a really stupid thing you wrote. And I'm like, well, I got the job.
Is it possible for you to give us an example? Is there not something
so,
that stands out?
So let's see. When I applied for FHM, I knew it's a men's magazine. It was written by men for men. And I... was at a disadvantage being a 23-year-old girl. But I wrote my cover letter so sassy. My opening line was, I'm a frat guy trapped in a hot girl's body. And they were like, that's what got you the job. Like, we knew you had our voice. You could make fun of yourself. You didn't take yourself too seriously. And, like, that did it. And I remember showing it to the other interns at Shape Magazine where I was working for free. And they're like, don't send that. And I was like, well, I'm gonna. Like,
what do you have to lose?
Yeah, I have nothing to lose.
Right.
I have nothing to lose. And, like, that is how I write. You know, showcase your skills in a bold way and stand out.
Yeah.
Fortune favors the bold.
I like that. That's cool. Okay, so blogging is a big business. And at least it's become really big business. And in an industry where the competition is steep, what should serious aspiring bloggers do to stand out? You know, you can go on the internet and land on
a billion.
Yeah.
A billion blogs.
So what makes, you know, I don't know, like, just Joe Schmoes better than Paula Schmoes?
I think honesty. People can smell the fake a mile away. And nowadays people are so focused on the end results. Like, I'm going to land a reality show off of this. I'm going to land a book deal. Like, I want to be Instagram famous. It's like, but the product you're putting out is not organic and authentic.
Right.
Like, you're thinking too hard about the brand, and you're not writing because you love it. You're not writing out something you care about. Like, I've had a private blog for 10 years, and it was so useful because I just was able, it was just an outlet.
Yeah.
I could just write anything I want, and I could, it helped me find my voice as a writer, and it helped me, like, get that balance. Like, whatever I was writing at work, if I was sick of it, I could go home and write whatever I wanted. And so I didn't feel so confined. And then when I was approached by publishing house, I'm like, oh, here's an example of my actual voice. Here's my blog. Here's a link to it. So in a way, like, I wasn't trying to think about my brand, but I had created my brand unknowingly because I was being so authentic in what I was writing.
We talk about that here a lot. For some reason, it always come up in every show.
Really?
Authenticity. Like, everyone somehow gets to that. It leads to, you know, being authentic.
Yeah.
And being true to not just yourself, but, you know, sometimes people say fake it till you make it. Yes. but to right
with
to,
confidence,
right?
Not with your voice and your product,
exactly.
You, because like, people know, especially now when the market is saturated, everyone wants to be a blogger, everyone wants to be branded.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thing that's going to set you apart is who you are, and that can change. And if you pigeonhole yourself too much as like the party girl, like maybe next year you're done with partying, and then who are you? You have to still do this. You've created this brand, like
right.
Be open to evolution.
Right. I like that. And so I guess in conceptualizing your blog, maybe what would be the steps? Okay. Today I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to become a serious journalist. Mm-hmm. I want to take it further. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe I can create a blog of my own.
Yeah.
How would I then put that together? Like, I mean, you like can't necessarily,
it?
Yeah.
That is the trick, right. To like be authentic and yet open to growth, but still shape it into something right. That sort of is like packageable. Like you want what they call the elevator pitch. Like if you meet the president of some company who can take you to the next level in an elevator, you have to be able to pitch yourself or your yeah. idea by right. floor five. So it has to be a sentence. That's hard to do. It's very hard. So, I mean, it really depends on what your individual voice is. And sometimes it's nothing more than girl in the city trying to find her way. Here are my experiences, both positive and negative. Mm-hmm. You know, when you first start out, I would say just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. Like if certain things bubble up more, if you get more traffic on certain posts, you know, maybe shape it that way. And then if you still feel compelled to write things that don't necessarily fit with this burgeoning brand, move it to your own separate private blog and just write just for you.
Yeah.
And then
okay. Kind
of weed out the things that make sense.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. So so you were in a reality show.
Yes,
we were literally just talking about reality TV. And so you were on MTV's Downtown Girls.
Yes, I was.
Where they followed, I guess, sort of your dating life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, like, what's that experience? Like, you know, I'm kind of guilty. Well, actually, my husband is definitely a reality person. And so I'm forced to watch a lot of the
yeah.
stuff he watches.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of like, so now I'm guilty of like yeah. enjoying it a little bit. But then, you know, like I can't imagine like people just sort of intruding on your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, for so many hours in a day. I mean, I'm not sure how it all works out, but
it's not even like, oh, there's a camera following you around. It's so not, it's not fake at all, but it's so like set up. There's so much infrastructure going on. Like if this is being filmed, or if, say we were at a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
they would have, you don't just like walk into a restaurant with
right.
a camera crew. Like there's clearance, there's lighting. They have to test lighting beforehand. They have to make sure everyone in the background has clearance. Sometimes mm-hmm. it was like people that we would bring in to like be seat fillers for a scene where I was on a date or something like that. And ours wasn't even the highest production value that shows can get,
mm-hmm.
like The Hills. We were kind of like a step below The Hills, but it is intense, like having cameras in your face. I got used to it really quickly, I guess because I'm a big ham and I don't mind being on camera. The hard part was just having the producers and the network have so much access to your life. Like anything you had ever told them, it's fair game. Fair game. I told them once I'd had a threesome. No shame, honey. And like I told it to a producer who I'd just become
Did
friends with.
Did they expose that?
Well, they tried. And like it's not like I would have been ashamed about that.
Yeah,
you know?
But
I had told her, like, not in confidence, but as a friend. Like
yeah.
we'd known each other for years at this point. And 1 week before we started shooting the episode, so it was kind of like an episode per week, they're like, this week we think you should ask yourself, am I a lesbian? Do I want to date a girl? And I was like, first of all, that's so offensive to people who are lesbians. You don't just wake
one
up one
day.
Day and decide. Like, the next, am I going to be in blackface next week pretending I'm a whole different race? It's offensive. You don't do that. And I'm like, that's not even authentic. Like, I'm not. And they're like, but you've had threesomes. You've told us about it. And I'm like,
okay.
I've been on a plane. It doesn't make me a pilot. Don't put me in the cockpit.
I love that analogy.
I can't fly this thing. I don't want to learn.
And make sure I'm not on the plane while you're down.
I don't want to get anywhere near it. So it's things like that. It's like you really sign your life over
to
these people. And with no guarantee that it's going to work out, that it's going to go anywhere, that viewers are going to like it. And it's stressful. It was a lot of fun. It really was. But it was unlike anything else.
So how do you keep the reality, I guess, portion of it with so much, you know, setting up or
mm-hmm.
so much
production.
Yeah.
For me, like, everything that happened in the scenes was completely organic. Mm-hmm. Like, when I met up with my ex-boyfriend and he inadvertently revealed he'd been cheating on me while we were together, I was like, what?
Whoa.
So I think you just have to kind of surrender to the whole process. Like, I realize at some point, like, they know everything about me. Like, they kind of own me. So I just need to surrender emotionally to these scenes. Like, don't try and look good. Don't try and come off as in control and smart. Like, and be vulnerable. Be real. Like, if someone hurts your feelings, be like, you're hurting my feelings, you know? Like, I feel fat. I'm hungover. No one likes me. I'm going to die alone. Like, all these things. And we think, like, that's what makes audiences connect to you.
Right.
So you just have to do it.
Yeah.
Sucks.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure. And you know what, too? Like, especially when you're having a real moment or an emotional moment.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the back of your mind, you're not saying I'm being... you're actually going through the
motion. You're having it. So you are having it. Mm-hmm. And you can't... Wow. There's no, like, oh, do I have to squeeze my, like, arm? Yeah, and there's no dipping out. Like, you're in it. They're going to follow you. If you go into the bathroom, they're coming in. Like, it's... It's
trying
crazy.
To see me. You know? Yeah. Wow, it's hard. Intense.
So you see girls who, like, flip out on reality shows, and they're like, don't follow me anymore. It's like, I get it. And those producers are like, she's ungrateful or whatever. I remember them saying that about Lauren Conrad. I'm like...
I'm sure it's tough.
It's tough.
Because there's parts of you, you know, I mean, I feel like there's parts of you that's for the world, and there's parts of you that's for yourself, and then there's still another part that's for your family and friends, maybe. You know what I mean? So, you know, you don't want to reveal all three of those parts.
When you don't even feel like it. Right. Like, just, they are going to be revealed whether you say so or not. Right. Yeah. And I think audiences expect so much transparency, so much, like, candid moment. It's... You know, they expect that. Yeah. And if they don't get it,
they're not going to watch. Right.
Yeah.
So would you ever consider doing this again?
It would have to be the right project. I don't think I would do anything on my, like, personal life anymore necessarily. But, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I would like to do something where I help other girls who are dating, like, kind of a dating coach, something like that. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, me, I'm not doing anything interesting anymore. I'm just watching Golden Girls and eating frosting. So.
Similar to me. Like, how do you live in New York and just, I'm always home.
I know.
I'm such a homebody.
Well, the city is so tiring. People don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm sure people do this too. They come to visit and they
and
go.
And they want you to go every
million miles an hour. And then at the end, they're like, oh, how do you do this? I'm like, I don't do this.
Right.
I don't do this at all. I nap a lot and I complain constantly. Like, I'm not out 7 days a week and lunch and dinner and going to the Met and going to Statue of Liberty. Yeah. No.
I think I've been to the Statue of Liberty twice my entire life.
Yeah, I went once for a party. I was wasted the whole time. I was like, you're the best.
I didn't even know they had parties at the Statue.
Yeah, I went to, like, a private party, like a whiskey event
have to check
at
that
night.
Out.
It was so cool. It was really cool.
So, do you think that, doing the reality show, did it hinder? It's like, you know, I've heard, you know, it can tarnish or it can actually
it can help.
Do it right.
This is the difference. This is the difference between success and failure from a reality show. You have to have a product going into it.
Yeah.
You can't get on a reality show, have that show be successful, and then try to decide, what is it that I do? Like, The Situation from Jersey Shore, how he was like, I know, I'll open a tanning salon. Or Rob Kardashian with those socks. Like... Does he own them?
No. I mean, we were talking about something the other day. He was asking about Rob Kardashian and stuff, like, what happened
to him. It's so embarrassing because he didn't have a product, but it works really well for people who are, like, singers, writers, like Lisa Vanderpump, who has restaurants.
Right.
People have a wine brand. Like, something like that is a great platform, but you have to think of that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that... then all you have is your transparency. All you have are those private moments to sell. And so that becomes a very depleting thing where all you can do is just
sell you. Yourself. And then when that's over, then there's nothing.
And you get more desperate and you end up Heidi and Spencer.
What? Anyway. So in addition to being an influential editor and blogger, you're an author. Oh, yes. The way we're going to talk. Okay. So yes, you're an author and... beyond that, you also have a dating advice show on YouTube.
Yes, I do. I have a YouTube channel. I did a series of kissing videos for howcast.com a few years ago, and they, like, blew up. They have, like, 30 million views each. A lot of people out there are bad kissers.
Amazing. Wow.
They're Googling things like how to kiss nice and hard. Like, people Google this on purpose.
Right.
And they find me. Thank God they do.
Okay, so wait, let's just back up because now this is like the gun rage thing.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. So wait, but first of all, how did you even come up with this concept?
I didn't. I had done a series of like teen dating advice videos for Howcast, and they did really well. My friend was a casting agent there, and she's like, we have an idea to do a kissing series. You know, we'd like cast a male model and a female model, and you can like instruct them. I was like, oh no, honey, I'm going to be making out with a male model. I'm such a hoe. But it was great. It was super fun. We did like 35 videos in a day. We made out all day.
35 videos?
Yes, a lot.
So for each video, there was a different guy?
No, it was the same guy.
Oh.
Why did I think of that?
I'm like, wow.
Damn it. I could have upped the hoe factor so bad.
Oh my God.
So good. No, it was the same guy. He's great. And we got along so well. We had really good banter. And he was a good kisser, too. Like, I realized that a minute before we started filming, I was like, what if you're not even a good kisser?
Right.
Like, what am I going to do? What if you don't think I'm a good kisser? So we got along really well. We had good chemistry. He's still a good friend. Yeah, and they blew up. So I kind of started my own YouTube channel out of that. And from the reality show, I would have a lot of teenage girls emailing me and tweeting at me like, I like this guy in my homeroom class. So it just sort of like came around organically. And I have like 30,000 followers now, and they ask me a ton of questions. I reply to all of them. I get like 500 emails a week.
Oh my gosh. So you must dedicate like a whole weekend,
every
weekend.
Yeah, I really try. It's kind of reaching the tipping point where I can't respond to everyone anymore, but I really try to.
Aw.
Very sweet.
But it sounds like fun.
It is. It's so fun. And I feel like I'm sparing these girls
heartbreak, heartache, silly mistakes.
Things that you just, no one is telling you. Like, don't text a guy first. Let him come to you. If he isn't coming to you, it's because he doesn't want to. Real talk.
Yeah.
Like, he knows where to find you. He has 1 billion methods of getting in touch.
Yeah.
He'll come after you if he wants to. Little things. Body language. Confidence. Like, I don't know if you experience this with your friends. I do. At this age, it's like when friends complain about guys or being single, they almost don't want advice.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to be yay-sayed.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. You should have slept with them on the first date. Yeah. And then power texted him the whole next day. You do it. Yeah. No. Don't do that. And like, girls our age, for some reason, don't want to hear it. But when you're a teenager and still in college, you're still receptive to learning.
Yeah.
You're still in a learning frame of mind. So they take the advice, and it's like their lives turn around dramatically. And I'm trying to create a generation where hopefully I'll be obsolete in a generation. No one will need my advice because I'll have it all figured out.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And you know what? I'm sure a lot of these girls don't have confidants, or they can't necessarily talk to their parents about certain things.
Yeah.
They may not have an older sister or an older somebody to kind of run something by. I think that's...
Yeah.
I really like that idea.
I don't have any siblings and I don't have any cousins. Like, I'm close with my mom, but, you know, someone in a different generation can only kind of do...
Mm-hmm.
They can only tell you so much. They don't know about texting. They don't know about any of that.
Yeah.
It's sad because a lot of these girls, I hear over and over again, I can't talk to my mom about this. I can't talk to my mom. And it's like, moms, your daughters want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, get over your own embarrassment or insecurity or denial. Like, be there for your daughter, you know?
It's true. I had my daughter when I was 17.
Oh, wow.
She is now 21.
You don't have a 21-year-old daughter. No.
She's going to be 22 very soon.
I don't think that's
true. Yes. And then on top of... It's very true. And so, I was just sort of piggybacking on what you're saying because, you know... I was one of those girls who didn't have a lot of friends. I was the nerd.
Yeah.
So like, you know, no one really, it wasn't cool to talk to me. You know what's interesting? My husband and I actually went to the same school, and he was the cool kid, and he didn't even know me, and I was like the kid getting beat up in the hallway kind of thing. Anyway, that's here nor there. We met years later. But then like,
so funny how things turn out.
I know, right? And then, like, you know, I graduated from high school early because, you know, I had nothing else to do but to study.
Yeah.
And so I applied for all these colleges, and I had, like, this huge gap in between, and met my daughter's father at the time. And I was just so elated that any boy liked me.
Yes, I know. I know.
And so I had no... My parents were so old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I... Literally, like, if I was to show you pictures, my hair was always in a ponytail
or
in Shirley Temple curls.
Me too! Sometimes I'm like, did I grow up in the 50s? Because I was dressed
Exactly. And so, you know... I think what you're doing is a great thing because it just speaks to, you know, me personally because of that situation that I went through as a kid. And I can imagine, like, you know, I have the relationship I have with my daughter now because of what I went through when I was, you know, a teenager.
It's hard. And girls, like, when you're starved for attention when you're a teenager, and we all are, no matter how popular you are, you want that male attention, and you don't know the difference between positive and negative. Right. And someone's going to stay, and someone, a guy who's just lying to you, and I'm trying to give them that insight.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great thing. Yeah. And then even just, you know, just having the relationships that I do have with my daughter's girlfriends is the same.
Like,
you know, you would be so surprised. Well, not you, but people would be really surprised as to how much these kids really value the input.
They really do. I think adults think, like, oh, they don't want to hear from us. Like, they no, do. They do. Absolutely do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yay, I can imagine. That's so great. So, by the time this air, you know, we air this show, it may not necessarily be news, but I thought it would be, I didn't want to pass the opportunity to kind of speak on this. And so, I'm just going to read something that I found on Inc.com. Okay. So, after the Grammys, Inc.com headlined the following. It said, "What every CEO can learn from Taylor Swift's Grammy acceptance speech." And in the article, they credited Taylor Swift for turning controversy into a negative situation into a win. And she did this by changing the conversation. So in Swift's second acceptance speech, she stated, "If you just focus on the work and you don't let those people sidetrack you, someday when you get where you're going, you'll look around and you'll know that it was you and the people who love you that put you there. And that will be the greatest feeling in the world." So Inc., you know, they went on about a whole bunch of things, but you know, what I pulled from it was they closed that statement with, when someone else is creating controversy, whether it's in your life or in your business, you know, and trying to drag you into drama or, you know, anything negative, your initial reaction is usually to talk about that situation, kind of bring it, you know, bring it to life kind
Take
of thing.
The bait.
Yeah. And you know, what their point was, I guess, is while leaders should follow the guidance of their legal team, they should also kind of follow suit. And the more you talk about someone else's gossip, the more believable it becomes. So they're basically saying, you know what, her position or her stance was, you know, just, you know, impeccable. It was just the right thing
to
do. And so I wanted to touch on, what are your thoughts about this whole Kanye and Taylor Swift controversy or thing?
It's so misogynistic and so pathetic and so embarrassing to me that Kim, who has a daughter, would allow that man to talk about another woman that way. It, like, hurts my heart that she just stands by. Like, love who you want to love. He's a douche, obviously. But this just, like, crosses so many lines. And it's just so unnecessary. And if he was the artist he claims he is, he wouldn't have to name drop. He wouldn't have to resort to this to sell records.
Right.
He didn't used to have to. He was an awesome rapper. Like, those days are long gone. It's like, and now he's just like a controversy machine. That's all he has.
Yeah, I don't understand what... It goes back to the whole branding thing we were talking about before. It's like, okay, so what is your...
What's your brand? It's nothing. You're Heidi and Spencer. All you're doing is just... stirring stuff up just for the sake of doing it. Like, he's not thinking 10 steps ahead. He's only thinking about the headlines today, the tweets today, like the Google RSS feed today. Like, what are you building?
Right.
What part of a whole is this? And I don't think he has an answer.
Yeah. But what I find interesting about that whole situation is that he seems to, like, avoid the camera, or he gives the perception that he doesn't want to be in the limelight, but then he goes out and he does this sort of thing where it's like, okay, so which one is it? Are you for the nonsense or are you not for it?
Well, I think it's interesting that he only takes shots behind a computer or a microphone. Like, when he doesn't do interviews with someone who's intelligent, who can ask him a question he doesn't have an answer to, like, he uses the coward's medium. He hides on Twitter like a little bitch and says things about women in songs, and it's like, anyone can do that.
Right.
You're basically catfishing the world, like, acting like you're this big man and, like, you can't come out of the shadows and defend yourself or, like, even speak properly ever.
Yeah, right. So your position on Taylor Swift, do you agree? She handled it.
Yeah, she handled it great, but, oh, man, she is not to be messed with. She is she holds grudges like nothing I've ever seen.
Really?
Yes. She is truly as Regina George in sheep's clothing. She's smart and she's lovely and she's created a great brand and a great persona, but I wouldn't cross her.
Yeah.
Not, no, 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 no.
Hmm. It's interesting.
So Kanye's got a world of hurt coming. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but she's not going to let this go.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be exciting. World War T.
Can't. Okay, so lastly, as I mentioned before, you know, we broadcast on lifestyle, mm-hmm. business, news, events, and fashion as well. And so there are these segment of questions that we just like to ask, yeah. and to leave, you know, our listeners with. Okay, so tell us, what is the most memorable event that you ever attended and why?
Oh, gosh. Probably a Stevie Wonder concert, and it was for like 50 people, and none of my friends wanted to go. So I went by myself, and it was like, he was basically like singing to me. Didn't know where I was in the room, but it was still like really so special. It was like his birthday party or something. It was crazy.
And he was performing at
it was amazing.
Okay, so what are the three jewelry and accessory essentials a woman should not leave the house without?
Heels.
Okay.
Sunglasses, because you never know where you're gonna end up. I mean, the walk of shame is so much less deliberate if you have sunglasses.
You're just point. I've never thought about it that
exactly. way. Exactly. Then it's intentional. You are just dressed really slutty at 7 a.m. because you like it. Okay? You're carrying your bra in your hand just because. This is what I do. 7 a.m. on a Sunday. Getting bagels in these thigh-high boots. lip gloss.
I was just going to ask you, are you a lip gloss or a lipstick girl?
So through my research, like through my YouTube channel, I dig a lot into science and like the biology behind attraction and all that. And do you know why guys are attracted to glossy lips?
No.
Because they remind them subconsciously of when a woman gets wet. Yeah, it's a bit vulgar, but it's true. It's true.
That's good.
It's just like unconscious.
You know what? I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Well, as you said it, it kind of like, you know, clicks in my head.
Yeah, it clicks. You're like, oh. Not like matte lipstick is off-putting, but, you know, it can go wrong a lot. You can get that cakey thing. Like, yeah. I think we've all been bamboozled by Kylie Jenner doing it, but in real life, gloss, I think, is the way to go, for sure.
Okay.
It's just easier.
Yay. Okay, so your favorite accessory or jewelry designer?
I really like noir jewelry. Obviously, like, sultry and spooky, but I like anything you can personalize.
Okay.
So I love Etsy jewelry. I like to get things with words, names, states, places, just whatever I'm feeling.
Personalized.
Yeah. Like, I got a guitar recently, and I got the name of my guitar on a necklace, and I wear it all the time.
Oh, nice.
People think it's, like, my dad's name. I was like, it's my guitar.
Do you play it?
Poorly, but I'm learning. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I like personalized things, because then it's, like, you're apart from everyone else, and it's, like, a little, it's almost like a tattoo.
Yeah.
But it's not on your body all the time.
Okay.
Take it off.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us
today.
This was really, really cool. Before I let you go, just if anyone wanted to follow you on social media or even your YouTube page, just tell us how we can find you.
So you can find me on social media at ShallonXO. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. And you can follow my YouTube page at Shallon Lester.
Yay! Thank you. I hope you'll come back. And next time, hopefully, Kaylin will be here and you'll get to meet her and we can do something even more fun. Something with maybe, I don't know, sex talk or something.
Yeah.
So outside
I'm
of
ready
realm.
To talk back.
All right. Thank you
so much for having me.
Okay, guys. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have the news event and the designer feature of the day. See you in 60 seconds.
Eclad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at Eclad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.
So as you guys know, Kaylin Burke is not here today. She actually injured herself. And so I am going to have to talk about the featured designer of the day. So today's designer feature is the Iris belt, which I am wearing and I've been wearing throughout the entire interview. And so I am wearing the Iris belt by Reina Belts. The Iris belt is a Velcro belt with 6 tiers of gold chains draped at the front for a dramatic and embellished appeal. The Iris belt is one of my very favorite accessories here at eCloud. I love it. I wear it a lot. It's so versatile and it just screams luxury each time I wear it. You can own your own. Just simply go to eCloud.com and that's www.y-clad.com. And we offer these belts in 3 colors, white, black, and navy. I'm wearing the navy today. And so again, you can head over to eclad.com, that's y-clad.com, and check out all of our other collections there for a belt, jewelry, and pick up yourself an Iris belt. It's super affordable and it's a great investment. Okay guys, so we're gonna jump right into the events for today. I am not going to do any news only because we pre-recorded the show and it's pre-recorded so way in advance that it's impossible for us to give you the news so in so much space of, I guess, ahead of time basically. Okay, so in today's events or must attend events, I wanted to talk about the JA New York show. And so, you know, these shows are done 4 times a year and they're back. They're gonna be here at the Jacob Javits Center. I think 2 shows ago we talked about it to let you guys know that, you know, that JA was back in town or will be back in town. Well, since it's right around the corner, I just thought it would be a great time to talk about it again. So on Sunday, March 13th, through the 15th, you can hit up the Jacob Javits Center for the JA show and, you know, go there and source them out for new jewelry, new accessory, new finds for your boutique, your retail, your store, your retailing store, whatever your needs are, whether it's a .com, whatever it is, they have it there. The JA show is the leading jewelry trade show event. It includes roughly 550 of the world's finest jewelry brands, designers, and suppliers representing the full spectrum of market categories and product choices. It may be too late to register by the time this show airs, so you will just have to head over to the Jacob Javits Center if you haven't already registered and walk with, I think they want like 3 recent invoices, your tax ID information, and a business card to prove that you're a business owner. And then I think you just fill out a form and they give you a ticket and some stubs for coffee and food and stuff like that. And then you can enjoy, you know, all the vendors that are there at the show. For more information, just head over to www.ja-newyork.com. Okay, so also at the Jacob Javits Center, simultaneously with the JA show, is the Children's Club show. The Children's Club is a international exhibition featuring every category of children's clothing from newborn to age 12. It's held 4 times a year, January, March, August, and October, just like the JA show. And it's running simultaneously with JA New York, scheduled for March 13th through the 15th. To register for the Children's Club show, just head over to www.enkshows.com. Again, that's www.enkshows.com. Okay, guys, so that concludes our show for tonight. I want to send a special thank you to Shallon Lester for chatting it up with me today. And I just want to say, Kaylin, you better be back in next week. And for all you listeners out there, thank you for hanging in there with me and for being a continued supporter of our show. Remember, guys, love life and wear it well. Have a great night. Until next time.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate-style conferences. conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.